The reading is taken from St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, reading from verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. This is the word of the Lord.
We pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord. Amen. Now, Christmas time is nearly here. Just 3 days until that big day. And here at St. Peter and St. Paul and across the parish, we have been preparing and welcoming and celebrating with many people over the past few weeks of Advent. Fun, laughter, joy. Christmas can be a time of welcoming people into our homes, sharing food around the table, enjoying one another's company, full fridges and tables, mince pies hidden in every spare bit of cupboard space that you can find, a time for gifts wrapped and disguised and desperately hidden from prying eyes, visits to Father Christmas and to every relative that you can possibly get around to in this time that you have available. So perhaps somebody here can answer me one question. Why on earth, with a home so packed full of food, gifts and people, do we then bring a full-size tree into our home? At whatever other time of year would you bring a full-sized evergreen tree into your home? Well, evergreen that is until you put the central heating on and everything drops and you simply have a twig with lights and baubles on. I don't know about you, but the picture of putting up the tree with the music playing and the children joyously putting the baubles on the tree is not quite the one that we experience. The dusty boxes come down from the loft, cluttering up the house, shedding the polystyrene that's disintegrated from last year all over the floor. And the Christmas tree, an artificial one that sheds more green stuff over our house than a real one would have done. The kids are bored as soon as they found their stockings, and they leave Mum to do it all. Christian children all must be mild, obedient, good as he. It would seem maybe that I've gone wrong somewhere. Now, maybe you've battled through the traffic and the shopping centres to find exactly the right present. For Dad, for Uncle Bob, why are men so hard to buy for? Please, not socks again this year. And for that baby who has no idea what's going on, but it's their first Christmas and we're more excited than they are, you must find that perfect gift. So here we are, Christmas time, a full-sized tree, 12 members of the family around the table, a massive turkey, and trying to cope with extra cooking, wrapping paper, and then we pull the crackers. And yet there's yet more paper and small bits that the dog could potentially follow. Ah, and please watch out for the check from Great Auntie Flo that doesn't get thrown out in the rubbish. Chaotic, disruptive, busy, and maybe at times uncomfortable. Christmas, a time of joy, fun, and laughter, or a time where it's chaotic, busy, uncomfortable, and disruptive. Was it any different on that first Christmas day? In our Bible reading this evening, we heard that Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census would be taken. People had to return to their hometown, travelling from one place to another, lots of people moving about. People would have needed places to stay as they journeyed on, and that made availability very limited. Travelling would have been slow. There would have been no superhighways, no sat-navs available for them. For Mary and Joseph, it would have been uncomfortable. Mary, about to have a baby, who travelled just under 100 miles. And if my Google Maps tells me correctly, that would have taken about 2 to 3 hours in the car, dependent on the route. But for Mary and Joseph, they would have been looking at about 5 days walking, disruptive and uncomfortable. For Joseph, who had been told his wife to be, was to have a baby that wasn't his, what should he do? To leave her would have made her an outcast and left her to the probability of being stoned, in shame and disgrace. Yet to stay with her would mean this baby that wasn't his would be his heir. Uncomfortable decisions, disruptions to the expected path of the events leading up to their marriage. Uncomfortable and disruptive. And for Mary, a young girl carrying a baby for the first time, a baby that is the Son of God, travelling many miles away from home, about to give birth away from the familiar, from the uncomfortable, where there is no guest room available. A new baby in itself is disruptive, chaotic. Giving birth is uncomfortable. And having a new baby brings a busyness never experienced before. Then there are the shepherds quietly watching their sheep in the field at night, under those stars, probably around a fire to keep them warm, and an angel, followed by a whole company of heavenly hosts, came and disrupted their work, their evening. We're told that they are terrified as the good news of a baby, the Messiah, is brought to them. chaotic, disruptive, uncomfortable. And there they were, prompted to busy themselves to go and visit the baby boy they have been told about. Now, the shepherds are unlikely to have been the cleanest of characters, sat on a hillside looking after sheep, having sheep as their companions by a smoky fire, and then they turn up to visit this baby lying in a manger. Now, that wouldn't happen on a modern maternity ward today, would it? But here they are, visiting Mary and Joseph and their new baby, entering into that very special moment for a couple with their first child, watching his every breath and his every move. Imagine a group of shepherds coming into that space. Joseph, Mary, and the shepherds, each told, "Do not be afraid." And then they are given the news of something life-changing, something which clearly could be the cause of fear in one's life, something so life-changing that it won't just affect their day, but their entire lives and the lives of all who inhabit the earth. Disruptive, chaotic, uncomfortable and busy. So why then, when our Christmas cards and carols and nativity scenes depict peace, silence, joy, love, stillness and calm, am I standing here and speaking about the uncomfortable, the busy, the chaos and the disruption? Because if each one of us was honest, there are parts of our lives that are just that. Difficult, disordered, messy, and not quite the picture we would wish to paint of them. And if we have a picture of the baby Jesus laying in a manger, sleeping silently, the parents looking on adoringly, with no chaos, no discomfort, no busyness or disruption, how then can we ever believe that he can be a Jesus who can enter into our own lives? And what do we do when Jesus does enter our life and our world and disrupts our daily pattern of living, where we think maybe I'm just fine without you, thank you very much? His coming had been foretold. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Jesus, the King in our lives. Jesus, our Counselor. Jesus, the Bringer of Peace. Jesus, through whom we have the promise of eternal life. And as Christians, we mark this time of year and we celebrate it because he is the baby that entered into the world in all its messiness and all its chaos. Because he is the baby who grew into a man on this very earth that we too inhabit, with struggles and with times of sadness. He ate and he spoke, was by many rejected, called names, teased and mocked. He had friends and he was betrayed. He knew loss. He knew pain. God did indeed use the ordinary people in society, the carpenter, the young girl, the workers in the field, to ensure that we knew that we too had a place in his plan for the whole of humanity, not just those who fitted the perceived mould, who were eloquent, who said the right thing, who did the right thing, for those who had money or power or were born to nobility or royalty. God came into this world that you and I, the ordinary people, would no longer be lost, would no longer struggle in the chaos of the world, no longer be swallowed by the difficulties around us, but instead know that Emmanuel, God with us, is here to show us that we are valued, we are loved, and we are his precious children. To know that with him we can know that same peace, silence, joy, love, stillness, and calm that our carols and our cards depict. Now, Kerry, in her testimony, spoke about her experience of knowing God's presence in her life, of God's peace and love in her home and in her family. God spoke to her through the innocence of a child's drawing and the words on a Christmas card, the word with. One simple word that we use every day, with. Jesus, whose name means came to save. Emmanuel, meaning God with us, came as a baby to be with us here on earth. That even after his death, Jesus spoke the words, "Surely I am with you always to the end of the age." Even after Jesus' death and resurrection, he is still with us through his Holy Spirit, then, today, and every day. So a very ordinary man, Joseph, a very ordinary girl, Mary, some very ordinary shepherds in a very ordinary place. These are the lives and the places through which baby Jesus entered into this world. Their lives did indeed change forever, so that we may also be changed forever. Where is God in your life today? I wonder, has he come down from the loft this Christmas time in a nativity scene, normally stored away for the rest of the year? Is he on the Christmas cards on your shelves? Is he in your coming here tonight, in the carols, in the pages of the Bible, in the light of the candles? He is indeed in all these things. But I want to invite you this evening to allow him into the chaos of Christmas time, to be your light and your guide. And I pray that through the disruptiveness of this season, through the uncomfortable encounters, within the busyness, you may invite him into your heart and ask him to walk beyond this season with you. Let this Christmas time be the time you invite God to come and stay in your lives forever. Let's pray. Lord of peace and hope, may the promises that we have heard this evening enter into the busyness of this season and of our lives and of our homes. May our hearts and minds be open to you, coming to stay in our everyday, in the ordinariness of our lives, that we may be changed by your presence forevermore. Amen.